The skies above were gray, you are here so blue. If your cares ever seem gray, all the whole day through, there's a silver light and shine in the heavenly land. Look by faith and see it, my friend, trust in his promises grand. Sing and be happy, press on to the goal. Trust him who leads you, he will keep your soul. Let all be faithful, look to him and pray. Lift your voice and praise him in song. Sing and be happy today.
Reading this morning will come from the book of John, chapter 4, verses 21 through 24. That's John, chapter 4, verses 21 through 24. I'll be reading from the King James Version. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, Brother Skippy.
Say good morning. Truly God has once again blessed us to be able to be here this morning to worship him in spirit and in truth. It's good to see those who are here this morning. And if you're visiting with us, we do count you as our honored guests. Just glad that you came to be a part of this service on this morning. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Wise eternal Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you again for this day and for your blessings, this opportunity you once again given us to assemble ourselves together this morning. Just thank you, Heavenly Father, for those who have taken part in our service thus far. And now, Father, as we're about to go into your word, that we focus upon your word, what it has to say to us in our situation. And Lord, at the conclusion of this message, everything that we've fallen short of, Lord, give us the courage to make the necessary corrections before it's too late. Gather in your word the things that I say, Lord. You get all the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. How do you feel about worship? Is it something that we do gladly, even eagerly? Or is it something to be endured? It is something that we don't take serious. We need to not simply go to worship service, but to truly go and worship. Because like anything we do often, there is a danger that it becomes habitual to the point of doing it without any thought, with the point of just going through the motion just to say that we have worship. When we think of worship, we think in terms of certain acts of worship or avenues of worship. We think that picking up a song book and singing a few songs and saying a few prayers and reading the scripture and listening to a sermon and taking the communion and giving automatically means we have worshiped. Those things can take place only to be a shell, an unmeaningful shell. See, sitting in a church auditorium does not constitute worship. Going through the motion just to say we have done the five acts is not worship. We think that worship is done for an hour on Sunday morning, and then it ends. But actually, the New Testament concept of worship goes far beyond our local building. It goes far beyond what we do through the five avenues of worship. A person who worships will obey God's will for his life. And what is God's will for us? It is for us to fellowship. It is for us to be disciples. It is for us to minister. It is for us to evangelize. And I'm here to tell you that no worship is wholly pleasing to God until there is nothing in me displeasing to God. You see, if you have been wronged by someone, forgive them. If you have been hurt by someone, forgive them. If you harbor a grudge against someone, forgive them. If you have an oath with someone, straighten it out, because you cannot worship God truly unless you have a clean heart yourself. We got to make sure that our worship is pleasing and acceptable to God. Now, there are things that you need to understand this morning about worship. Our text starts off right here in the middle of a conversation between Jesus and the Samaritan woman. Our text involves a discussion about worship, how Jesus worshiped, how the Samaritan worship, where Jesus worship, where the Samaritans worship, what true worship is,
not about what pleases me. It's about what he wants and what pleases him. Paul paints a picture. When you go to Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1, Paul paints the picture of a sacrifice being offered to God. There in Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1 and 2, he said, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Now notice, it's not just a piece of dead meat. It's living. Therefore, it has a mind. It has emotions, and it has a will. If Paul had said, offer your body as a sacrifice, you could possibly argue that all Paul was asking for was that you serve God with your body. But I want you to notice, Paul specifically calls it a living sacrifice, and in so doing, he includes the aspect of our intellect, of our emotion, and of our will. Everything we own, everything we possess as living, breathing human beings is to be offered up to God. Every activity that we are involved in with as living, breathing human beings is to be expression of our worship. Every piece of lives, whether it's public or whether it is private, is on display to God and is a testimony to him of our reverence and of our honor to God. Worship is living the life. Living the life of surrender. It's walking with God through life and living in obedience to him every day. In other words, it won't matter what we do on Sunday if we do not live correctly in the presence of God the other 6 days of the week. For us to experience God in our organized worship, we need to be experiencing him in our everyday lives. And so if you don't know God as a way of life, you will not find him on Sunday, because it involves our whole lives offered as a sacrifice to God. So the question again, how do you feel about worship? Do you prepare for it? In other words, before we even get to worship, we should have made preparation the night before. In other words, we should have been planning, if the Lord's will, to be here early enough so that we can be in a wishful attitude and spirit. See, you got to understand that when you come to worship, your attitude ought to be right. When you come to worship, your mind ought to be right. Our mind must be ready. It must be attentive. It must be alert. We must control our thoughts during periods of worship throughout the week, and especially when we gather together to worship him on Sunday morning. Listen, we cannot come on Sunday and allow our minds to wander to other things. There was a little boy who asked his father what was the highest number that he had ever counted. And the father replied, I don't know. And so the father asked his son, 73. And so the father asked him, well, why did you stop there? He said, because church was over. Now, y'all will catch that. We all have probably sat through worship service with our minds were focused on something just as trivial rather than on God. It's easy to let the mind wander. In other words, I'll be glad when service is over. I can't wait to see the ball game this afternoon. I wonder what we're having for lunch. I never noticed before that the carpet down there is starting to unravel a little bit. Is it a wonder that we so often leave the worship assembly with feeling that it wasn't very meaningfully? Well, why is that? Because our mind was not what it should have been on. It should have been on worshiping God. When you are in worship, let me ask you a question. What are you thinking about? What are you thinking about doing and doing when the singing is going on? What are you thinking about and doing when somebody is leading prayer? When the preaching is going on, what is your focus? Because the Bible says God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. We're going to get to that in just a minute. But our focus ought to be on worship because of the fact that he brought you and I through another week. And so we are here to say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for bringing me through another week. And so we should be coming ready to serve him because of what Jesus did on the cross. The sacrifice he made ought to be motive for us to be dedicated and committed to the Lord's work. Well, let me just stop here. I want you to think about something this morning. I want you to think about when you became a Christian. Think about that. The love you had for the Lord, the commitment and dedication you had for his service. Think about how involved you were. Think about now where you are right now. Is it now I used to? I used to give my best. I used to teach. I used to be a song leader. I used to be involved. If that is you, then it's time to think about what Paul asked in Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 7. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should obey not the truth? Who cut in on you? Who took your focus of the Lord? What caused you to be a used to? What have you allowed to slow you down from the race that is set before us, to cause us to do less, to cause us to attend less, to cause us to serve less? We must not allow any man, anything to hinder us from running this course, to hinder us from worshiping God. If you gave God your best, then you ought to be giving God your best right now. because God gave you his best. He gave you his only begotten son. That's why he said, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, pleasing unto God, which is your reasonable service. How do you feel about worship? Do you worship in spirit and in truth? You know, we quote this a lot. God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. What is he dealing here? See, worshiping in spirit means that we must not simply go through the motions of the acts of worship, but we must put our hearts, we must put our minds into our worship. Worshiping in truth means that our worship must be conducted in a manner in which God has instructed us to worship. Real worship is done in spirit and in truth. When Jesus was speaking to the Samaritan woman at the well, again, notice what he said there in John chapter 4. And verse number 23, he said, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship. God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now I want you to go back and notice, look at that word when he said in spirit and in truth. Now notice that word spirit there. Now the word spirit is not in capital. It's not in a capital word. The capital S. It's in a lower case. Spirit. Now when you look at that, it doesn't refer to the Holy Spirit. But what in this context, this word refers to the unseen or the invisible part of man. In other words, it refers to his attitude. It refers to his intellect. It refers to his will. It refers to his emotion. God must be worshiped in all of these areas of our lives. And he knows exactly what our attitudes are. God knows that. He knows exactly what our attitudes are. He knows what we are thinking. He knows what our will is saying. God knows all of that. And you can come and fool folk, but you can't fool God. Because God already knows. He already knows your heart. He is not fooled by our outward show on Sunday pretending to look spiritual to impress those sitting next to you or someone else. He's not impressed with that. You are just putting on an act. And God knows that. We need to worship him from our heart. Worship should be a time when we are confronted with the majestic and the glory of God. As we reflect on God's power, we realize how much we need him in time of our weakness. As we reflect on God's wisdom, we realize how much we need him in our times of indecision. As we reflect on God's holiness, we are made aware of our sinfulness and the need for forgiveness. As we reflect on God's love, we realize the effort God has gone to make the forgiveness available to you and I. And church, it's not a ritual we go through every week. It's an opportunity to express our praise to the one who means more to us than all the earth. And as we truly worship As we truly praise God from the heart, we become more aware of how much we want to live close to Him. When we lead with the challenge to be holy as He is holy, worship that is not sincere, worship that is not done from the heart, worship that is not done in spirit is vain, is useless, and is unacceptable to Almighty God. Our worship must be honest. Our worship must be real. It must line up to what He has revealed about Himself through His word and the standards it contains. God can see into our spirit. He can see it, and others can see how we live our lives day to day, whether we actually live in complete surrender to God. Worship is not a 1 hour exercise on Sunday, but it's a 24 hour a day, 7 days a week activity. Worship, church, is about the acknowledgement of what a great and awesome God He is and that we serve. Worship is something we give. It's not something we get. Worship is not for you, but it's for God. And we need to become people who worship Jesus and not ourselves. We need to put Him first in our lives, because that's what worship is all about. We must understand this morning why we gather here to worship God. You see, we gather because He's so complete and we are so broken. We gather because He is high and we are so low. We gather because He is good and I'm so bad. And we bring our cares to Him and we say, fix it for me. I've had a bad week. I haven't done all that I should have done. I messed up. I thought wrong thoughts. I said something I shouldn't have said. Lord, fix it. Fix it for me. And the church then becomes a hospital. It becomes an operating room. We've been operated on. And after surgery, they take us to the recovery room. And just about the time we recover, there is a room waiting for us. We stay there, recuperating for a few days. And then finally, the doctor comes in and say, you can be released. And just about the time they roll us down the hallway in a wheelchair, we've been discharged, something else happens, and they roll us right back in again. I'm here to tell you this morning that none of us sitting here this morning has ever been released from the hospital. There's always something that's going wrong in our lives. And we are here today to say, Lord, fix it for me. I can't fix it for myself. Lord, I know you're the great physician. I know that you got the power to fix it for me. That's why I'm here this morning. It's not about you. But it's all about Him. It's all about what He did on the cross. He died for me. And He died for you. And I'm here to say, Lord, I need some stuff
Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us to wake up this morning, to be here, to have another hour of worship service. Thank you for the message that's been brought to us. We know that it is to your word, and we ask that you help us take these words to heart and use them each and every day of our lives, not just today. We ask you to be with those who are on the sick and prayer list. Watch over them, help them, give them strength, Lord. Be with those who are traveling and help them get back safely. We ask you continue to be with us throughout the day and throughout all our lives. Guide, guard, direct us, and keep us safe in all we do. It's in your Son, Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen.